You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Jungle Deep, Deep, Deep. The podcast that explores the tropical lifestyle. Hello and welcome to the podcast, Jungle Deep. This is your host, Dr. Jones. We are on safari, and I'm here with you to learn, to have fun, and to explore the jungle.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Petco, where the pets go. Petco, where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail wagging, fur flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more, and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
Dyson. The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radial root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to DysonDeals.com. DysonDeals.com to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to this episode of Jungle Deep. We are about to hear from the president of Edgar Rice Burroughs Incorporated, Jim Solis. Edgar Rice Burroughs was the famous author of the Tarzan books, as well as many, many others. The company that carries his name is the guardian of all that is good about Tarzan, as well as the related copyrights and trademarks. Mr. Solis will share with us news about the Tarzan world, upcoming books, comic books, movies, and events. We start off in a conversation about how copyrights work. Let's listen in. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
I do appreciate your time, and I'm looking forward to finding out more about what you do and a little more about what Tarzan does.
All right, I'll see if I can enlighten us.
Your purpose with your organization is, I guess, kind of manage the trademark to license new projects that want to use the name?
Well, our company does indeed market and protect both copyrights and trademarks, because we own multiple copyrights and we own multiple trademarks, and it's all around the world, not just in the U.S.
And that's an important. I forget that, and that's an important thing to remember, because the world market is, well, much bigger than just the U.S. market.
Well, it is. It is.
I don't know anything about trademark law, but copyright, I know, has a limitation in the United States. It doesn't apply in many other countries. Is there an image it's copyright, or is it just the name? And I've always wondered, does it cover the story? I mean, like, how much control over the story? If somebody wants to write a book or write a script for a movie, do you exercise any control over the content of that?
Well, yes, because we license the trademark Tarzan. And we have that trademark, so people can't just run out and do a Tarzan movie and name it Tarzan, because we own the trademark, and we know only in a variety of countries around the world.
And the trademark is the name.
Correct.
Is that right?
That's correct. Tarzan.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But the books are out of copy, or at least some of them are out of copy right now.
Well, a few are in public domain in the United States. So just the first few, but not all of them at all.
I see.
What somebody could do is reprint, say, Tarzan Days in the U.S. only, but they could not do it internationally because the international copyright laws are different. They're not in the public domain in all of the European countries, for example.
Man, that must be a pain in the butt for you. There's so many countries on all with their own laws, and half of them don't respect laws anyway.
That's correct.
I'd love to spend a day with you and see how in the world you do the things you do. It's got to be very frustrating, I would think.
Well, it is. And today, though, we have a better ability to intercept the infringements or unauthorized uses than we used to, because the Internet gives us a lot more information that we can pursue.
Right.
We can find things being offered for sale that aren't authorized, and we do indeed spend a lot of time shutting down the sites, and we do that with the cooperation of the Internet sites. They will cooperate with us.
So the same thing that helps them promote a product helps you find the product and get control.
Exactly right.
Well,
gives us the information we needed to either shut them down indirectly or directly.
Well, now, what about if somebody's not selling a product but simply talking about Tarzan? I mean, like, you know, a little podcast like mine, for instance, that uses the name and reports on Tarzan things and so forth. Are we subject to some of those limitations?
Well, I think the answer is yes, if we own the trademark Tarzan. So if you are, it's like using someone's likeness in the movie industry. You can't just automatically do that without getting their permission. And it's that way with Tarzan. You just can't automatically do it. Now, there is a concept in the copyright and trademark law called fair use. Not in the copyright area, but in the trademark area, this concept of fair use.
I'm familiar with that in the video field.
Well, you can make a reference to Tarzan, but you can't do something that would include the storyline or the other characters that go with the storyline, because then you're infringing on the storyline that was created by Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Uh-huh. And so if anybody wanted to, say, write a book or a script or something, they probably should talk to you first.
Absolutely. Well, you asked what we do at the corporate level, and I should tell you, we basically spend all our time in the movie industry, the publishing industry, and the merchandising industry, those three areas.
So where people are going to make money off the name is where your concern is, if I imagine. I mean, any blog or website or fan club is actually helping you guys, isn't
it? Yes, they help. We have some active fan club, very active, both for Tarzan and John Carter. They're helping us actually discover infringements also. They bring them to our attention because they have a sense what's authorized and what isn't.
That's a point.
And we've done some new things with a new television program, which is interesting. So, movies and television, both, we dabble in. And the publishing has been a very active field, particularly because of the centennial in terms of reprints in a variety of languages. But also, we have authorized brand new Tarzan books to be written. And we're pleased with the products. We have three new Tarzan books being written in the UK by Andy Briggs, placing Tarzan in the 21st century, relatively younger teenager type. Mm. He's not yet a full-grown man. Mm-hmm. But Jane is in the jungle, and Jane has an iPod, so she's a more modern lady. And she's there with her dad, but it's 21st century.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, that'd be fun.
He is now an eco-warrior. He's protecting the jungle, protecting the environment, protecting the animals, and he's watching out for Jane, too.
In the actual storyline, you folks, do you approve a storyline, or do you not get that involved?
Yeah, no. In the new books, our contracts are that we do have approval of the script. Now that's different than the manuscript. That's different than in the movie world. In the movie world, we do not have control of the casting. We don't have complete control of the script. However, we do have authority to review the script to be sure it conforms with what we call rules, restrictions, and regulations that apply to Tarzan and John Carter. So when we get a movie requirements, and for example, Tarzan doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He can't get hurt permanently. He's always going to get well. And he can't be irreverent. And he's got to protect the jungle and the people and the animals. And he's not a mean guy unless there's some mean people around. Then he can be a mean guy.
I see. So, you really define his character. And so you're looking out for all those finer points that I'm sure most people don't even think about. You know. Yeah. Interesting. I was just wondering if the centennial year has made your job, you know, it like doubled or tripled your workload from a normal year.
Yes, it's been very active.
I think that you saw this year coming and you went and hired a bunch of people in anticipation of the workload because you only have the whole world to cover. Jeez. Yeah, what kind of staff, I'm curious, what kind of staff do you have there, Jim?
At the corporate level, we have 5 full-time employees and everybody's been extra busy this particular year.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, somehow that sounds, that might sound doable during a normal year, but this year?
Well, we also have, we had a lot of fan support. We had our fans help us with the centennial celebration because it is conforms with the Burroughs Bibliophiles annual event, which is called the Dum Dum. And the Dum Dum, it's called that because that was the meeting call of the apes in the jungle,
yes.
The Dum Dum, and all the apes showed up. For 30 or more than that, 50 years, there's been a Dum Dum organization, that's a 501c3 charitable organization, and they put together the Dum Dum annual event every a 3-day fan event. Sure.
Oh, really? So that's not your show. That's
yes.
Totally
well,
separate nonprofit
this particular
that does that.
One because it was a centennial. So I there's chapters across the country. So the LA suburbs suburbs was the organizing committee, but. We met regularly for better part of a year. From going back to last fall, we met because we had an ECOF event in March called ECOF stands for Edgar Rice Burroughs Chain of Friendship. So that's a smaller fan group, and they meet every year. And we had the meeting in March to dovetail with the showing of the new John Carter movie. So we had a private showing on the Disney lot a week before it was released to the public. So that we prepared for that, and then as soon as that was over, I started preparing for the big one in August. And we had it at the Warner Center Marriott Hotel in Woodland Hills, which is right next door to Tarzana. So we don't have quite the big enough hotel in Tarzana to host it, so we went over there. And it's collectors and fans and celebrities come, and we've had panel presentations.
I heard it was a sold-out event.
Well, it was
a full house.
Like a mini Comic-Con. Like a mini comic.
Yeah. Is 300 the right number for the number of people attending?
That's about right. Yeah.
Wow.
About that. And of course, one of the big draws was our two guests of honor at the banquet, which was the culmination of the 3-day event. And Dr. Jane Goodall represented the Tarzan side of the centennial. And John Carter is also 100 years old this year, having been also created in 1912. And so the John Carter movie had just come out recently. So Jim Morris, the producer of the movie, was our guest of honor for the John Carter side of the centennial.
And you got a lot of material to kind of look out for because Burroughs was very prolific. He wrote a lot of books and many topics.
The numbers we use, he wrote at least 70 novels and 40 short stories. And we still, even now, discover a few things that he has done that have never been published. So it's very fascinating to stumble across something that hasn't been published yet. And there's been a few things that have been published in the last 10 years that we didn't know about 20 years ago. But he is very prolific. I mean, he wrote not only in science fiction and in adventure, but he wrote westerns, he wrote murder mysteries, he wrote love stories. A Girl from Hollywood was written in the 1920s, all about a young starlet coming to Hollywood and getting under the drug influence of her agents. And he controlled her, and that was, that was like 50 years before its time. He had an inquisitive mind and a very imaginative mind, and he could pull together a story in ways other people could not. You know, he was not necessarily noted in the literary circles because he did not have a college degree. So not having had, an English literature, the authors of the time and the publishers of the time, not all of them were willing to consider him a legitimate author. And yet he with the books he produced, he outsold all the great authors of the 20th century, and Hemingway and Faulkner and Sinclair and Kipling, put together, he outsold them all.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, that's just amazing when you think about it.
Well, because he wrote, as I said, he wrote to entertain people. He didn't write to entertain the publishing industry, and he didn't write to entertain the literary circles. He wrote to entertain the public, and that's exactly what he did. So,
amazing.
At one point, there has been said just very recently, somebody wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal that he had had 100 million of his books published in all the different languages and all the different stories he created. And when you consider that, plus the movies and the television and the merchandise and the books and the comic strips, he reached at his peak 1 billion people. he's in touch with on a regular basis. So that's pretty remarkable, pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I was interviewing Bill Hillman here recently, and he brought up the comic book, you know, the subject of comic books for Tarzan, and I hadn't really even given any thought to that. And I imagine there's quite a few of those, and that's a whole other thing on top of the mm-hmm. books and the movies, all the comic books. Can you tell us anything more about the Tarzan comic books? Mm-hmm. Were there quite a few of them? When were they in their heyday, and are they still being produced?
Well, there have been brand new licenses to do just that. Like Tarzan comic books, you know, started back in early 30s, I think, the first Tarzan comic books came out, and they were produced on a regular basis all through the 1970s and 80s, and then they're a little low, and then they resumed in the 1990s, and now Dark Horse Comics, which is our comic book licensee for Tarzan's side, they have brand new comic books coming out for Tarzan, and Tarzan is in the 23rd century, different now. He's got to save the world after the world crumbles. Another fascinating twist on our guy. And then on the John Carter side, we had John Carter comic books licensed with Marvel. So Marvel Comics is who used to do the Tarzan ones years ago, and John Carter, but they have the John Carter license now. But Dark Horse is going to be producing some interesting comic books.
Wow. So we got some more coming up to look forward to.
We do.
All those comic book fans out there.
Yes, we do. And we have some movies coming out we just should look forward to.
Yeah, now I hear there's a couple of movies in production. I keep hearing about something being done in Germany. And then something else. Can you tell us about those? What Tarzan movies are under pre-production at this point?
Well, Constantine Films is a German film company. They do have an L.A. office, but they have the Tarzan animation rights. So they are producing a Tarzan animation. And now it's not a cartoon so much as it is now what they call performance capture or motion capture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's real actors, but you have to do a double take to realize they're not quite real. It's like the movie 300 that was out once upon a time.
Right, I remember that one. Yeah.
They do that, and they have cast Ellen Lutz as Tarzan, who I guess is a teenage heartthrob now, and Spencer Locke is playing Jane, and that's the female.
Mm-hmm.
So she is playing Jane, and they have cast them, and they are shooting the film now, and it could come out as early as next July, and if not July, it'll be out in December, and it'll be an internationally theatrically released animation.
I was wondering about
that.
We're
really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
And we'll have, you know, we have not had a live-action Tarzan film since 1998. And now Warner Brothers has the rights, and they are getting ready. They have written a script, and they're hiring a new director. And we hope that in 2014 or 2015 at the latest, which is not that far away anymore, we will have a live-action Tarzan film. So we're really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of us are. Like you say, it's been a little while since we've had that. Have you heard anything about any new treatment on this new one? Are we going to see something we haven't seen before?
Well, we hope so. What they did is they had two different seasoned scriptwriters write a script independently. One is Craig Brewer, and the other was Adam Kozad, and this is by Warner Brothers. So they took those two scripts, and at one point they were going to merge them into one story, but now I understand they may use it one for the first film and use the second one for a sequel, which we hope they do a sequel. We would like to make sure Tarzan's out there on a regular basis again.
Well, if they get the story right, they certainly can. We've seen that in many blockbuster films in recent years. They tend to do two or three. They tend to think of films now in terms of three at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they call them tentpole films, and so that you can have two or three more under the tent before you finish with it. We'll see where it goes. Yeah.
I was reading recently about the Avatar films and where they were with the sequels on that. And
mm-hmm.
They're doing the second and third one at the same time, simultaneously.
Right.
So, yeah, once they get that technology and produce those digital effects and all that stuff, they want to use that again. And most of us want to see it again,
yeah.
So that's fair enough.
You are listening to Jungle Deep, Deep, Deep.
We'll be right back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Introducing the new Bret Michaels Pets Rock Collection, exclusively at PetSmart. I created it for the pets that rock your world.
Shop the Bret Michaels Pets Rock Collection and celebrate PetSmart's 25th anniversary with up to 25% off thousands of items on the PetSmart site. Plus free shipping on orders of $49 or more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com. That's PetSmartDeal.com. PetSmartDeal.com.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well-informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well-read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
This is Dr. Jones. I invite you to visit a website to learn about a tribute underway for one of the world's most beautiful natural places, Yosemite National Park. Masters of their craft, the Polsons are creating gorgeous murals of stained glass representing the four seasons of Yosemite, and their project is soon to be a campaign at Kickstarter.com. You can take part in this historic art project and participate in the creation of this awesome exhibit honoring Yosemite. If you love Yosemite, you will love the Four Seasons of Yosemite. Learn more at www.williampolson.com. That's William, W-I-L-L-I-A-M, Polson, P-O-U-L-S-O-N.com.
Hi, this is Ken Jones from the Prince of Ponds podcast. The frogs are shaking the shakers, the turtles are hitting the slapsticks, and the koi are blowing the trumpets. It's party time here at Prince of Ponds. Out under the swaying palm trees, the pond fairies are kicking up their heels and spinning into light in the twilight. Here on Pet Life Radio, it's time to celebrate the magic of ponds, waterfalls, fountains, and water gardens at the Prince of Ponds podcast.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Now, more of
Jungle Deep. Deep.
Let me change gears and ask you about the centennial celebration for Tarzan this year. I'm wondering, we've talked about it before here on Jungle Deep, talk about it on our website a little bit, but it was the big 100-year birthday of Tarzan, took place in Tarzana, and I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about it. What were some of your favorite moments of that event?
Yeah, you know, we spent 3 days and an evening celebrating all of that, and it started on a Wednesday night with a showing of Tarzan and His Mate, which is the second Johnny Weissmuller, Marino Sullivan movie that featured a very romantic swim scene where Jane was actually nude swimming underwater with Tarzan with 1932 technology, the 1934 movie, but filmed in 32 and 33. And it was very, very well done, but made Hollywood very nervous on how much nudity to show in their pictures. So that contributed to the Hays Convention, you might know about, which is the beginning of the ratings system in Hollywood. And so the next film they did 2 years later in 1936, they did the very same, very tastefully done, very romantic underwater swimming scene for 3 or 4 minutes, but this time Jane is entirely clothed in a huge bear rug. So they were telling Hollywood, we got the message, we don't need to be nude to show. It was appropriate, though, because it was in a very natural environment in the jungle. But everyone got nervous, so that was what we did Wednesday night, and then we had about, maybe 100 people, because most people have seen it 5 or 6 times, but the fans, but we had 100 people in a theater at College of Hollywood here in the Valley, where it was shown, so it was well done. And then Thursday was the first day of our, what we call the Huckster Room, and that's where all the collectors and vendors come, and fans come, and they buy, and they trade, and the collectors sell, and it was very well attended. All of the vendors were very pleased with the first day's activity. And then during that time, we had a number of panel presentations, so it's quite a bit like a Comic-Con, where you have your vendors, but you also have breakout sessions where you can go hear a specific topic by a noted expert in some area.
Now, I understand this is an annual event, is it not?
Yes, it is an annual event. That's correct.
But, of course, it was bigger this year than ever
because
of the centennial. Yeah,
that's correct. Uh-huh. But on Friday, we did have a unique ceremony also. There was the unveiling of the United States Postal Stamp of Edgar Rice Burroughs and Tarzan, which was designed by the post office. And they have a very formal ceremony where they unveil a new stamp, and it takes about an hour, and it's all done at the Tarzana Cultural and Community Center. So the post office has organized the whole thing, and we, of course, participated in it, and very well attended. Several hundred people. Uh-huh. We bussed people over from the hotel to to see it. So we're pleased that you now have an Edgar Esquivel's Forever stamp that you can go buy.
Yes, yes, and we have a picture of it on our website for all our listeners to check out.
Uh-huh, there yeah, you go.
Good yeah. old Tarzan in the tree.
Yeah, and then Saturday was culminated in our, well, we had several other things. We had a Tarzan Yell contest one night. And
did you compete?
Not myself. I was doing something else, which I can explain to you real quickly. The judges, by the way, were the Burroughs' granddaughters and granddaughter-in-law and Johnny Weissmuller's granddaughter. So we had several judges who have direct relationship to Tarzan in one way or another.
Right.
While that contest was going on, I was upstairs visiting with Dr. Jane Goodall, who had just arrived that evening.
Mm-hmm.
And we were conversing, and I told her about this Tarzan yell, and she said, "Well, would you like me to go down and give my ape yell, my chimpanzee yell?" And I said, "Whoa, absolutely."
That'd be priceless.
Nobody knew this at all that might happen, so we go down surreptitiously and are outside the door, and I walk in and just as the last contestant finished the Tarzan yell contest and walked up, and I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is not on the agenda, but we have a second yell contest, and I want you all to be the judges." And at that moment, she walked in, and just everybody gave a huge standing ovation. They were just so pleased to see her come in like that and totally unannounced.
Yeah, that's wonderful. A surprise like that's a lot of fun. And mm-hmm. I hear she did very well with her chimpanzee yell.
Absolutely. She has an inimitable chimpanzee yell.
Who would know better than she, right?
That's correct. And then she did that also the next evening. She did that at her regular event at the dinner where she was a featured speaker. She did the chimpanzee yell too. And it's not really a yell. It's,
yes.
It's really a mating call. It's from across the valley to the other side of the valley to uh-huh. let them know you're well and maybe we should get together. Sort of thing.
Kind of an invitation to party, huh?
You're right. Maybe.
I am just let my listeners know I'm trying to get a copy of that clip. I would love to get the little video snippet of that and be able to share it with our listeners on our website. Was that your favorite moment? It sounds like it might have been your favorite moment at the event.
Yes, yes, it was. I was involved specifically in the dinner planning and the guests, getting the guests lined up, guest speakers mm-hmm. lined up, more so than the other event. So, yes, that was my favorite.
Are there any theme parks that offer a Tarzan feature these days?
Well, we do have the Tarzan Treehouse. Disney has that license, and they have a Tarzan Treehouse here in Disneyland in California, but they also have a Tarzan Treehouse in Hong Kong Disney.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the only two Disney parks have right now.
I've noticed that the Disney version of Tarzan gives him a treehouse, but from the books I've read, I haven't heard of a treehouse yet. His cabin was on the beach and was not a treehouse. Am I up to speed on this, or am I missing something?
Well, the treehouse, that comes from the Tarzan movies, because mm-hmm. whenever they showed those older Johnny Weissmuller movies, which were the first talking movies in 32, 34, 36, he was always in a treehouse with an elevated
right.
house, well, not a cabin mm-hmm. on
okay.
the ground level. And
I
think that's where it comes from. But you are right. In the book, he built a cabin. They were in the trees at the beginning because they hadn't had anything built yet. But once they built it, I've seen versions that show it on a cabin on the ground.
Yeah, well, his father built the original cabin that he learned from was on the beach that his
yes.
father built. I it's interesting. There's actually so many things we think
yes.
of as a part of the Tarzan lore that wasn't actually in the books, like the swinging from
yes.
vines, and the Tarzan yell is different. I know the Magani had their victory
mm-hmm.
howl that they did whenever they killed a beast.
Cry of the bull ape.
Yeah, yeah.
Cry of the bull ape.
Now, I'm guessing that just kind of evolved into the Tarzan yell that they used in the movies.
Yes. You'll see the bull ape cry though in later movies, even after Johnny Weissmuller, it was used.
Oh, really? So they do bring it back in the movies. They have that as a distinct
mm-hmm.
behavior separate from the Tarzan
yes.
uh-huh. yodel thing.
Right.
I always loved that as a child. I just love that. And then Cheetah too. Now, did Cheetah show up in any of the books?
No, Cheetah was not there. He had a name for monkeys called Entima. But Cheetah as a featured person was not in the books. That was strictly a Hollywood invention.
Uh-huh.
And then,
well,
that hey. Provided comic relief and also
sure.
was really attractive to the kids
yeah.
who loved the Tarzan movies. Yeah, it was. I think that's what made it family entertainment.
So is there anything else happening in the future you'd like to share with us in the world of Tarzan other than what we've talked about with the movies and comic books?
Well, and I mentioned to you the new Tarzan books being written for the younger audience, placing Tarzan in the 21st century. But in addition, mm-hmm. just this last week, we released a new book called Jane, The Woman Who Loved Tarzan. And that's a book by an American mm-hmm. author, Robin Maxwell. And it is the original Tarzan story told from Jane's point of view. And this is something that's never been done before. She, Robin Maxwell, the author, has the history of writing about strong women in the medieval era. In like one of her biggest sellers is The Secret Diary of Anne Boleyn, and she wrote another about Queen Elizabeth. And this is her first one venturing into the Titan. So she has portrayed Jane as a strong-willed lady who learns how to be at home in the jungle with Tarzan.
And is that book, did you say that's written or it's just about to be written?
Just came out last week, available.
Oh, published.
Or Amazon. It's published, yeah.
Great.
It's by Tor.
And of course we'd want to buy that on Amazon.
Yes. It's really a very good, everyone who's read, she has great reviews on this, and everyone who has read it has really enjoyed it. It's well written.
I think that would be fun, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great. All right. Well, that is fun stuff to look forward to. That's.
Oh, and by the way, Ken, don't forget, the next time you go to Las Vegas or an Indian casino, make sure you take opportunity to play the new Tarzan video slot machine.
Oh.
That's a license we've given, and it's a very successful license for video slots and across the country. That was voted the number one new slot machine last year by the users. So it's very interesting.
Really?
Very popular.
Isn't that something? Yeah. There's another source of revenue.
That's part of the merchandise.
Yeah, you give me to the movies over and over again, but the slots I don't tend to do. But okay. Let's talk a little bit about Tarzan's more serious work for just a minute and talk about the environmentalism associated with Tarzan. Now, I know of the folks who attended the centennial celebration. Of course, Jane Goodall, Russ Miedermeyer from Conservation International was there, and he wrote in his blog how he gives Tarzan credit for his choice of career, and he thinks that Tarzan influenced a lot of naturalists and environmentalists to pursue their careers because of reading those first Tarzan books or seeing those movies. So I just want to ask you for your personal take. Do you think Tarzan can continue to inspire people to be interested in the rainforest? And is there anything Tarzan can do to actually help save the rainforest here 100 years later?
Well, I think he represents a symbolic hero that's there to continue to protect the environment. We like to think of him as the first conservationist way back before it was a popular concept. He was protecting the environment 100 years ago and the animals, caring for the animals and making sure that all the colonists who came into Africa didn't despoil it all. We think he's continuing to do that. The books being written replacing him in the 21st century do follow through with that theme. He's portrayed as an eco-warrior now and trying to shut down illegal logging operations and that sort of thing. So
So the answer is a definite yes on
I think
that,
so.
Then. He's actually being,
yes.
He's being characterized as, as you say, an eco-warrior
mm-hmm.
now.
Yes.
Coming up in these new books. That's going to be interesting. I always wondered if Tarzan could be transplanted to South America, if we had a South American version, what that'd be like and how that might be different.
Well, he's very popular in South America. There are still newspapers down there still carry the Tarzan comic strip, which they're not doing so much here in the U.S., but down in South America, it's quite popular. And I might add that we are next month, October, being the 100-year, exactly the 100 years from when the first Wall Street magazine came out with the story Tarzan of the Apes in it, we will be launching a brand new comic strip on our website. Tarzan will be a Sunday comic strip to begin with, and by a noted illustrator, Tom Grinberg, and a noted writer, Roy Thomas. And that's just about to be launched. So we're going to have Tarzan, again, being very active in the jungle and protecting the environment.
It's, of course, it'd be natural to say yes to this question, I guess, considering it's a centennial year. It's bound to be a busier year than most. Other than that, do you see is Tarzan's popularity continuing to grow? Or has there been a lull and we're seeing a new growth, do you think?
I think there was a lull at one point. And I tie it to what I call the anti-hero era. Mm. Ever since even like James Dean and Steve McQueen became popular in movies, remember they were bad guys. You had to be a bad guy to be a good guy. But before that, the good guys were good guys from the beginning, they were good guys at the end. But James Dean and Steve McQueen created that era when you had to be bad to be good. And I think Tarzan took a little bit of a lull there because there was a sense that he's too good to be bad, so he's only bad when he has to be or when there's mean people around. But in general, he's good and he stays good. And I think there was a period of time where the anti-hero took over and was the popular. And I think there's still some of that now. I mean, Clint Eastwood is very popular, but he also has a bad side before he's a good guy. So that wasn't true if you think of the mm-hmm. heroes of the movies in the 30s and 40s and 50s. That wasn't necessarily true, but from the
right.
60s on up, that was the case. Or to be bad, to be good. And some people want us to portray Tarzan as a very the more savvy, the more feral side of his upbringing, and that appeals to young people because that's what they've grown up with. You have to be bad in order to be good. So I think that did cause some low in his popularity, but on the other hand, you know, I think it's becoming full circle because Tarzan now, he still has the attributes that made him popular then and we are yearning for again. For example, Tarzan, he's not subject to greed. You know, he doesn't need anything from anyone. So he's not selfish. He doesn't care for himself other than survival because that's how he...
Boy, that's a message for the politics of the day, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, he doesn't have rules and regulations to live by. He lives by his wits and his courage and his sense of what's right and wrong. And above all, he represents the freest person in the world. He has no one that dictates to him anything. There's room for that in our thinking. Our imagination has to include being totally free. And I think Tarzan survives because of that.
Interesting points. Very interesting points. Well, a lot of fun. I appreciate you joining us and telling us about your insights to Tarzan and what's happening in the Tarzan world and the special events in the centennial year that's been going on, like the big centennial celebration, the Dum Dum, and what's going on in the world today, what's in production and may soon be coming to a comic book, a bookstore, or a movie theater near us.
We hope so. We think they're all out there ready to come. Yep.
That's all good stuff. Well, you're kind of the captain of a ship that sails a very interesting sea.
yes, it's never a dull moment at all. It's a great job to have. I'm a very lucky guy to have this job, and I just feel a real fiduciary obligation to make sure we do everything we can to promote him and make sure everybody understands what he stands for.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you being on our show and sharing all this with us. I hope we'll be able to check back with you and get some current news from time to time about what's happening in the world of Tarzan. Thank you again.
Okay, Ken, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, the show's over for today, so it's time to refill my Mai Tai, mount my elephant, and head back into the jungle.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.